Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You but God with good credits.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit presents Sunday Conversations with Dion Nichols of Live Your Best Life for You.
All right. So we are live.
Awesome.
So, Janila Brown, welcome to Sunday Conversations with me, Dion Nichols.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is so good to have you. So I always like to share how I've met my guests. So for those who may or may not know my journey during the pandemic, like many people, I really turned to my faith, you know, and really started to really stretch myself. I was actually getting on a prayer call at 6 a.m., 5 days a week, giving the Lord the first fruits of my day, which was really supportive, you know, just being in community during that time. And I remember a young lady giving her testimony at the top of the following year in January, you know, basically sharing how she's going into this new year with a sense of wholeness and completeness. And she said, I've been working with this amazing therapist. I was like, oh, I've got to find out who she is, you know, because I have a loved one who is really searching for a really good Christian counselor. And I reached out and here you are, and the rest is history. So how I usually like to start with my guests is to basically ask you, you know, like Nike, just do it, right? What would be your tagline, Janila Brown, that really sums up your mission and identity on this planet?
It is encouraging people to be healed, to be whole, and to be you. Be your authentic self.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, that leads into my next question, I guess, perfectly. I would love for you to just share a little bit with the audience, a little bit of the story that drives that brand or mission statement that you just shared.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, basically, at the age of 16, I found myself pregnant, and I have great support from my parents, but I've always been a firm believer in, you know, you make mistake, there's consequences, and you got to buckle down and make things happen in spite of. And with that, I just kind of persevered and moved forward with that. But it was still this feeling always of beating myself up. Like, how could you have done this, Janila? Like, really, you know better, you can do differently and things like that. And really like taking that on even into adult life. So I'm, you know, single mom, trying to figure things out, make things happen, and really just beating myself up, like putting myself mm-hmm. down, not showing myself the same compassion that I would share to others. You know, I'm very compassionate and I'm like, no, giving the benefit of the doubt. And towards myself, I was just like, oh, you messed up. Like, yeah. It's the end of the world. And it always fighting and feeling like I was always fighting from a place of trying to overcome that. Trying to overcome the stereotypes, trying to be more than and beat what the circumstances I were faced with. Mm-hmm. And so it just really drove me to find
that's
that.
That's exhausting, by the way, right? It's
yeah, it is. It is very exhausting. Yeah. And much like you were saying with you tapping into your faith during the pandemic, you know, I went back to God and I was like, look, like, this is not working. I'm stressed out. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed all the time. Mm. Like, there's got to be more. And if you've forgiven me, like, why am I having such a hard time forgiving myself?
Wow.
And so in that, I just, you know, began to pray and began to worship. And I'm like, I need something to change. And as it changed in me and being able to forgive myself, to move past the hurt, the pain that mm-hmm. I was feeling. As I began to do that, I just began to encounter more and more people that were dealing with the same things. And that's been like the story of my life. Just they come into my life and I know that that was the purpose that God had for me to go through those things and to overcome so that I can help others. Like, no, it's okay. Like, you made a mistake. There are consequences to your actions, but you can be healed from this. Yeah. You can be made whole. You can be your authentic self and find some there, you know, love yourself, and then you'll find someone else to love you and just embracing the love that God has for us as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, accepting his forgiveness as okay. well. Mm-hmm. Because that's a big part of forgiving ourselves is accepting his forgiveness. And so that's really where it came from, is just overcoming that and just realizing that a lot of things can cause people to weigh them down. You take on all these burdens and you have all of these cares and things like that. And it's just like, it's not worth it to live in the past and to dwell in the past. You have to be able to move forward, but you can't do that. You don't have the clarity of vision if you truly are not unloaded of these burdens and weights.
Right, right. How can you soar, right? If we're all supposed to be eagles, you know?
Right.
We soar with all this heavy weight and baggage that actually is self-inflicted. So a lot of times we're actually getting in our own way.
Yes.
And I love what you said there, that not allowing your past or those mistakes define who you are. Yes. It's what you did. It's not who you are.
Wow. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And so is that what later drove you to become a board certified counselor?
Yes.
Naturally, you were called, it seems like, but eventually you went on.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So it just became, like I said, I just kept finding people that were going through that. And I was actually at a job where I was a training manager. Mm-hmm. So I was encountering all the new employees. And it just seemed like by day two, they were like, so let me tell you about my life. This is what I'm going through. And I was like, we just met, you know, like they're just giving me everything. And I was like, there's something to this. And, you know, I'm definitely an intercessor. And so, you know, God really showed me that, you know, praying for these people, not just to hear what they're saying, but to really listen and begin to pray for the things that they were going through, mm-hmm. the things that they needed to be healed from. And with that, it just became this kind of driving force where I had the opportunity and people were really coming to me. And I just said, you know what, let's just make this official and make sure that I have the support, education, mentors in the field to be able to provide the service to people on a bigger level.
Beautiful. And the name of your practice, just to make sure that people know.
The Vault Christian Counseling. And the Vault came from, so my best friend, she was like, you're like the vault. Like she kept calling me that. She's like, you're like the vault. Like I never have to worry about my business getting out there. You know, I tell you stuff and I don't hear it from somebody else. And she was like, the vault, you're the vault. And so as time progressed, I was like, the vault. Like, I like that.
That's amazing. I love to hear the story behind the story, you know?
Yes, so, yes.
Cool.
Because people really
know
need
everyone.
Yeah.
It stops with her.
Yes, because people do. They really need a safe place to share. You know, everybody does not have that good friend that they can share with, that keeps their secrets, that understands, that's trying to process and work through things with them. Everybody doesn't have that. And so it's important to be able to provide that for people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is gold. That is gold. When you can find that. So it was actually for me late last year. I was actually participating in a training called Dare to Lead. You may have heard of Brené Brown.
Yes.
Work. Yes.
Yes.
So we were looking at leadership from an unarmored place to be a better leader. And so that's when, during that training, that they touched on the topic of self-compassion. And I was quite intrigued by it. So you may have heard of Kristen Neff.
Yes.
Yes. So that's when I learned about her work. And I'm just curious. I know compassion now is a very central focus to your work. If you could define it for the audience, first of all. What exactly is self-compassion?
Gotcha. So basically, how to define self-compassion is really the sympathetic consciousness, okay, of your distress, okay, coupled with a desire to alleviate it, okay? And so what that means is that you're aware that you're in a distressed situation, but you've got the desire to alleviate it. Okay. And being sympathetic to that. Okay. Again, not beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. Why do you think that's our natural go-to, to go and berate ourselves versus being a little kinder?
I mean, a lot of times I feel like people default to that because it's like, if I do it first, then when other people, you know, start to criticize me and it kind of builds up this wall, it's like a defense, really. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this opportunity to get ahead of what may be potentially coming. And then it just kind of manifests and it stays there.
Yeah.
And you forget that it was just meant as a defense mechanism, and it's not meant to be a place where you dwell. You know, we absolutely should take accountability for our actions, be responsible for our actions, but it's just not good to dwell there. Okay. Finding solutions and resolving the situation and coming out on top.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should say that. As you know, we'll be working together later this week.
Yes.
I'm working on this 8-week workshop series at a college in the South Bronx. So we actually are heard around the world. So that's why I kind of give people a point of reference. So yes. And so my workshop is called The Reset. So what we do know when we're about to take on something new, we're looking to reinvent ourselves, pivot, you know, there's going to be challenges.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be mistakes made, failures, right?
Yes.
So I also realized just how important self-compassion is to the reset. So
yes.
Having Janila come in and do a specific module just on self-compassion, because it will absolutely slow you down in the things that you want to achieve in your life, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it dwells there.
Yes.
So if you could take it a little step further about the impact, if you don't learn to increase your self-compassion.
Mm. Yes, that's good. So yes, if you don't learn self-compassion, it does. It holds you in bondage. If it prevents you from moving forward, You know, you can't really get out of it, because the mindset is when you lack self-compassion and you're constantly beating yourself up and not really giving yourself, a fair shake, you start to isolate. Okay. You start to pull back from other people. Okay. For fear of the criticism, because now you've got it in your mind that this is reality. This is the only way that you can live and experience life. And so, but you don't want to see other people become like a mirror to you, where they become your reflection. And so their opinions start to weigh even more heavy than they should, because you believe that you're not good enough, because you believe that you can't do it, because you believe it. Now, when you see other people, you automatically assume that that's what they're believing about you too. And it's not true. It's not true.
Compounding effect.
Yes. Yes. And so now you don't want to move forward. You don't want to accomplish anything. You don't want to make decisions. You don't want to make choices because you're afraid you're going to make the wrong one.
Yeah.
And then it just spirals from there. And again, you go back to isolating yourself, you know, not seeking help, believing that you just don't deserve the very best. And we deserve the very best. We deserve to be loved. We deserve to be happy. We deserve to have peace, to have joy. We deserve all of those things, but we have to be able to see that for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of what I also teach is the importance of self-trust. That's the T in the reset.
Yes.
And I also saw how that connects to self-compassion.
It does.
What we do know is the most important relationship you'll ever have is with yourself. And if you're not nurturing that and being kind to that, how can you even trust yourself to take on new things, as you were saying?
Wow. Exactly. It leaves you always playing from fear. Always.
Yeah. So it goes back to fear.
Yes.
It goes back to fear. Wow. Amazing. You don't realize just how far reaching this is. That's why I was quite intrigued by this whole thing. So if you could tell me, are there ways to build, or what would be your best practices for building self-compassion?
Absolutely. I would say be fair to yourself. And that's an acronym for F stands for forgive yourself first. Okay.
Well, we love a good acronym around here. So one more time.
Be fair to yourself, F-A-I-R, okay? And so the S stands for forgiving yourself, okay? Practically speaking, forgiving yourself really just looks like looking in the mirror and saying, I forgive you. You know, really taking it on, and you say it as many times as you need to until you start to believe that you're forgiven. Just really resonating, letting that resonate with yourself, like, I forgive you. I forgive you for the past decisions. I forgive you for whatever led us here. I forgive you, and it's erased. It's wiped clean.
I like that
okay.
one.
I forgive. And then the second one.
Everything that led us here. I think that one really hit home. You know, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah, because you just let it pile up, and it becomes decision after decision, and it's you can always see. That's where the toiling and dwelling there begins, is because you can always see what decision led to another decision, to another decision, to another decision. And then you're like, why didn't I stop then? Why didn't I stop the cycle then? And it's like, no, just let that go. Because today is the day that you can stop it. Yeah. You know, you woke up this morning. It's another opportunity to just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I heard in there. It's the letting go. It's the putting it down, all of it.
Yes.
Because it's what you just said. It's the toiling of all the little things that keeps rehearsing. But when you just let go of all the things that led us here. Because there were also some things out of your control as well. We don't forget.
Yeah.
We don't want to forget that too. There's things you can control. And there are some things beyond your control. So I'm going to let go of all the things that led me here.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. And then the second letter is A. Okay. Which it says, accept your perceived flaws. Okay. And that's the big thing, is what you perceive to be a flaw. I always said perception is deception, because what we perceive to be true is not usually the reality. And so being able to accept what you perceive to be a downfall, even in those downfalls, even in those things that we consider weaknesses, there's strength in those. They can be used for our benefit. And so the things that we typically shy away from accomplishing and doing because we perceive that we're not strong in that area or we can't really accomplish it. And it's taking your weaknesses and looking at them and seeing them for how they can be strengths, how they can be utilized, and pointing out what is your strengths. You know, we are not perfect beings. We don't have everything all together. And the myth, like social media is a lie. All the, you know, the things that you see, the perceptions that people put out, people can be anybody on social media. You can't trust that.
I heard the best quote by Steve Furtick. He said, we're comparing our behind the scenes with people's front, with their highlight reels.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah. And so we have to live in what is our reality. And the reality is that everybody has a weakness. Everybody has something that they perceive as a flaw, but you've got to use it and play it to your strength. Okay. So practically speaking, that's just saying, you know, if you feel like I'm pretty shy, I'm not really confident, but maybe behind the scenes, you are like awesome and you get stuff done as far as administrative. Play that up. That's what you're great at, you know, and just begin to see the value in what you do offer, what you bring to the table.
Beautiful. I heard self-acceptance, recognizing your worth and your weaknesses. You can look at them as opportunities.
Exactly.
Framing, I think even your language, right? From weakness to opportunity. Well, I have a few opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm working with. Nice. Okay. And now we're at I.
Yes. So I is involving yourself in others. And before I talked about the isolation piece, which can lead to when you are not being self-compassionate, can lead you to isolation, involving yourself with others. Because when you are around others, when you're building relationships and things like that, typically other people are going to see the value that you don't see in yourself and give you encouragement. And that allows you again to just realize that you're not alone, you know, that other people are going through things. Other people are making poor choices. Other people are rising up and you are not alone. Like you're just not, like people don't tell their testimonies and their stories enough. And we live in this like bubble that, no, it's only me. I'm the only one going through this. And it's just not true. But if you isolate yourself, then how do you know that there are other people out there who are going through your circumstance, have been through your circumstance, and can offer you mentorship or guidance on how to really overcome?
Yeah, that's actually another T. Yes, the other T in reset, you know, is testimony. That you just never know who may need to hear your story and who it may free. So it's not for you. What you do actually go through in life, it's not just for you, that eventually it's to be basically shared, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then the last letter is R, which is reaching out. This is really huge because people are really afraid to reach out for help. And this is professional help, whether it's spiritual leaders, therapists, counselors, you know, even just strong mentors in your relationships. It's very important to reach out, and not be afraid. You know, the stigma is that, you know, keep it to yourself, you know, keep things in, you'll figure it out. You know, people are embarrassed to say, like, I go to counseling or I have a therapist because it's just like this shunned thing. Like, well, you have to be crazy if you're going to a therapist. No. Seeking help, reaching out is really just the process. You know, really a lot of it is just going through and figuring out where the hurt started, you know, where things and seeing patterns in your relationships, in your life. Because everything starts from somewhere. Every behavior that we hold as adults starts somewhere. Either it was an observed behavior, it was a counter to what we observed, or it's something that we just picked up along the way and that we have now manifested in our own lives. And so when we trace those things back, it helps us, I call it taking it out from the root, to pluck things out from the root so that they don't continue to grow back and disturb our lives and encounter our lives, and really getting down to the root cause of what's going on.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that more people are reaching out during this pandemic, that, professional help is actually, they're getting inundated, which is, I'm happy to hear that more and more we're talking about this. People are seeing that, they're less, because they're seeing it more, that stigma is starting to peel away. Which is
yes. And it's been wonderful. And it really, the pandemic was something that exposed a lot of things that people were not dealing with.
Yeah.
Because we were busy. We were going to work. We were in a cycle, in a routine. There wasn't time to sit and think about things or to feel things, because it's easy to go. People get about their days, they get in their cycles, and then they just stop feeling. And the pandemic exposed a lot of those things that people were feeling that they were brushing under the rug and just trying to maintain and trying to hold things together, not really dealing with the grief, traumas, and things like that that had happened to them. And I think the pandemic brought out this, like, hey, it kind of hit people in the face.
Wow.
And it's like, you have to deal with me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like, and so it's been a wonderful thing to be busy, to be able to help more people and to have people reach out. And it's been even more encouraging that it's more men as well reaching out, because that was a thing before, like, men don't really talk about and share their feelings. So it's been very encouraging to encounter that, where more men are accepting, like, hey, I just need to talk to someone, you know?
That's a good, actually a good point you just brought up. Would you say there's a difference when it comes to gender with regards to women tend to be a little more self-compassionate? Are men, or who's harder on each other? Who's harder on themselves? I'm just wondering if there's even a stat or anything like that.
Gotcha. So, just generally speaking, typically women tend to be harder on themselves, because we are nurturing, emotional, we tend to take on more. And so we're taking on, other people in our lives, emotional, weight, baggage, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that does tend to make us a little more, less self-compassionate, less self-compassionate.
I love it. I'm always learning something every day. Let's see. Where did I want to go next? You just brought up a good segue, actually. I was wondering, is there a way for us to foster this earlier in our kids? Is there a way to sort of plant these self-compassionate seeds earlier?
That's a good question. And absolutely. There are definitely ways to build that up. It's always going to start by us being the example of what self-compassion looks like. So if your kids are always witnessing you, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did, and how you talk to yourself. Yeah. It really is negative self-talk that can bring about less self-compassion towards ourselves. And so if your children are witnessing this, just encouraging them to affirm themselves with affirmations every morning, just to, again, stand in the mirror, like, it's okay when they make a mistake, okay? When they don't do things the way that they should, going back and saying, hey, it's not the end of the world, and we move forward. Not we brush over it and we don't address it. Mm-hmm. We address it. Mm-hmm. Here's your consequence, but you can move on. Like, we're not going to dwell on it. We're not going to hang here. And building that up and constantly reinforcing that with your children will help to build, like, they will have self-compassion towards themselves.
Nice. Thank you for that. And one thing I always remember, again, and it goes back to language, right, is letting them know that you did this thing but it's not you. So yes. you may have done a bad thing.
You're not bad.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you for that. Do you have any resources, whether it's books or blogs or I don't know, YouTube channels, things that your go-tos or what you like to offer your clients that you have found useful around, you know, building self-compassion?
Gotcha. So there are actually, it's a book called Think Positive. Mm-hmm. That you can get, as well as you mentioned Kristen Neff. Mm-hmm. She does really good with breaking down self-compassion and giving practical ways to do that. And then there's also, sorry, I'm going through my library. I'm like, oh, that's a good question. Think Positive, definitely. Jack Canfield has some really good ones. And then there is Start by John Acuff. And it's really about starting things, like getting started. But in that book, he really talks about how to get started. And I think it dives into the self-compassion piece of holding us back, like the things that hold us back. He really attacks that piece of it, mm-hmm. The things that prevent us from getting started. And it taps in so much to self-compassion because it really is us holding ourselves back. So I'd recommend that book as well.
It's interesting to see how far reaching it really is. So some people think I'm just procrastinating just because I'm procrastinating, but maybe you want to look at your level of self-compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Yes. It dives into, I mean, we talked about the fear and you just mentioned procrastination. Really, it debilitates you and it limits your scope of how you think about yourself. And so it does. It prevents you from pursuing goals, visions, things like that you have on your heart. It's like, but can I really do this? Mm-hmm. You start to second guess, like, yourself and everything. And just having that courage to step outside of yourself and say, look, like, it's okay. Like, you can make wise choices. You can be better than what I call yester-you, which is the you from yesterday.
You can
be better than yesterday. Every day we wake up, we have a new opportunity to be encouraged. We have a new opportunity to live life as however we see fit, however it's been placed in us, and to live on purpose. And so if we take each day and we just decide that, hey, yesterday is gone, can't do anything about that. Okay, but what I can do is impact today. So how am I going to impact my today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how am I going to impact this hour, this moment, and seize every moment that we have available? As long as you're breathing, you have an opportunity to keep living and doing your very best. And that's all that we can ask of ourselves.
Yes. I mean, how can we be present in the moment if our mind is racing, saying all these things that we cannot do and all that we're not, right? Yes. How can we be fully present and even just focused on the future if we're still just, and
exactly.
I guess why you were saying earlier too, the importance of reaching out and being in community, because what we know is these thoughts can't breed once they actually are spoken out, right?
Yes.
That's the only way they can't live once you've spoken it out. So that's why the isolation, you know, is so detrimental, because you're by yourself with the thoughts. But the moment you, like you said, you speak it out, you get into community, you're sharing, or whether that's with a professional, it can no longer live. So you can make room, mental space for what you do want to create, right?
Yes. Yes. You have no room. Like if you're holding on to, it's just like you talk about, if you're holding on to something, then you have no room to grab anything else. And so the space that is occupied in your thoughts with toiling about past things, there's no space to be new, innovative, and creative, you know, because you're toiling on that. And then I wanted to go back to the parent piece too, because like I said, I was a young single mom. And with that, in not passing that on to your children, and again, having that self-compassion, like it really did begin to manifest in a way that was unhealthy, because I was always parenting from that place too. I was parenting from my lack of self-compassion for myself, and always just overthinking things and trying to make sure, like, well, I don't want you to make these decisions. I don't want you to make that. Mm. I don't want you to be like this, and really just overdoing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really was stepping back and allowing God to come in, and like, I was just like, this isn't fair. You know, he does not deserve to further have more consequences compounded on him because of my actions, because I'm hurting, because I'm in a bad place. And, you know, just really making sure that you heal and get past things. I don't say get over it, but get past your past. And heal from it, and be made whole, because then you can be authentically you and stop damaging and hurting others around you.
Yeah. And I think you just also touched on something really important, because interesting, I just had a conversation around this with one of my coaching clients, because she had a tendency of being hard on herself and realized she was projecting that on her friendships. So there was a lack of trust around friendship. She held them to a very high standard. And then if you didn't meet that expectation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That cancel culture going on, right?
Yes.
So the way you said it manifested in your parenting. If you're not very self-compassionate to yourself, then you may not have as much compassion for if your friends make a mistake.
Right.
You see the homeless person on the street, it's hard to have compassion for that person who may need that dollar. So we see again how it starts with you, but then it can seep into
the
relationship with your creator, right?
Yes.
If you can't trust him, you can't, you know, all that ties in. It's amazing. Wow. Yes.
And you said something very key about the expectations. Like, we have such strong expectations of how things are supposed to go. Mm-hmm. It's like we've built this whole image, this whole life. I mean, they talk about when you're young and you picture your whole wedding day and things like that. Right. We just have all these level of expectations, and we've built them up so, and it's like the second something does not meet that expectation, it's like,
yeah.
End of the line.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. There's forgiveness. You can have grace with yourself to say, no, like, I didn't meet this expectation. I may not have met this goal. Okay. But just like with New Year's resolutions, okay, we don't make our New Year's resolutions that people make. I prefer goals and build our vision board as a family. We do that together, and just really setting actionable items. And that is something that our children have been able to see. We check off things, and sometimes things don't get checked off. And it's like, okay, we'll just roll it over to the next year. We're still living, we're breathing. That's another opportunity. We didn't make it this year. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward and carry it over. So if we got added to the list again, we add it to the list again. But yeah, just not dwelling there and hanging on it, and making sure that the expectations that you have are realistic, they're practical, okay? Not that you don't dream big, okay? Definitely a believer in dreaming big.
You're talking to a limitless possibility type of gal. So we no wonder we hang. Okay.
Yes.
However.
Right.
I actually talked about this last week, the importance of SMART goals, right? Because we want
to be
attainable, achievable, right? So we don't self-defeat ourselves. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So, sorry, did you have something to add?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, just not, you know, you want to make your goals, but it's like, if you don't, that damaging self-talk is just, it's not productive.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And talk about a perfect way to model for your children. So I love this idea of doing a family vision board partay. That's nice.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. Our kids enjoy it. I have, well, my son, he's older now. He's turning 20 next month. And then I have two daughters that are 12 and 10. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy the process of just being able to set their own goals, things that they want to accomplish for the year. And we celebrate very hard when we accomplish a goal. We can check something off. And again, just, you know, hey, if we, you know, miss the mark, or how can we look at this? Maybe the steps, because we always put steps, like how are we going to achieve the goal? That's a part of the SMART goals. And making sure that, you know, maybe our steps weren't in alignment, really weren't really practical to help us get there.
Very nice. It's funny because when I do talk about vision boarding in my reset workshop, it's mm-hmm. not just jumping to the cutting and pasting. So I love the fact that you said that you actually do plan out your yes. goals, your sub goals, your actual steps, and then you start creating the vision, right?
So yes.
Make the vision, make it plain, and then you, you know,
right, execute love it. And then they can love see it. And it's, so we actually use that when we talk about they can see and they will run with it. And so how we can help each other make our goals. And so holding each other accountable to making our goals, and what is our part? Like, because sometimes you set goals that need other people. And that's why, again, going back to that reaching out, involving yourselves with others, because we have things and we just can't do everything on our own. But when you build a community and a support system where you can support one another, we can do even greater things.
Yeah, I had a mentor say that doing things alone is a poverty mindset.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So, Janila, what is next for you?
Well, right now I am working on issuing out some shirts to go with the counseling, starting a merchandise line, as well as I wanted to create a counseling journal where my clients can write their notes from their sessions in there. Also have, you know, whatever their prayers are, dreams, goals, visions, and things like that. So that's in the works next.
Ooh, that's exciting. Well, keep me posted. You know, I'm Absolutely. A life and wardrobe stylist, and I like to support, you know, especially female Black owned businesses. I'm all about it. So definitely keep me in mind.
Absolutely.
And where can the people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at the Vault CC10. You can also find me on my website at thevaultcc.org. And you can also find me on Facebook under my name, Janila Brown. And yes.
Very nice.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of Sunday Conversations with Dion Nichols of Live Your Best Life for You after this short sponsor break.
This message is brought to you by Enoch's Foliage Real Estate School, which was founded by Mrs. Patricia Johnson in 2019. The school is located in Brooklyn, New York, licensed with the state of New York, and offers the 75-hour real estate sales licensing course, along with a new property management course. Classes are taught on location, and the 75-hour real estate sales licensing course will also be taught online. We welcome students of all backgrounds. So to learn more, call 347-404-7233 or visit them at enochsfoliagerealty.com. That's E-N-O-C-H-S foliage, F-O-L-I-A-G-E, realty.com. And make sure you follow them and check them out on Instagram and Facebook at Enoch's Foliage Real Estate School.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you have it all here, people. Make sure you connect with Janila. Thank you for this amazing conversation. I always say nothing happens by accident. When I had reached out to you, I did not know that a specialty or focus of your practice was self-compassion.
Yes.
And when you told me, Dion, that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Right? Right on purpose.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that our paths crossed. I just want to say to everyone, take a moment to be a little kinder to yourself. The quality of your life depends on it. All right.
Absolutely.
So
thank you so much, Dion.
Thank you. So to everyone, to add to the conversation or ask questions, feel free to email me at Dion@liveyourbestlifeforyou. You can DM me on Instagram or Facebook at Dion Nichols, and feel free to visit my website to stay up to date on the latest and greatest at liveyourbestlifeforyou.com. And have a beautiful day full of everyday miracles.
Black guys.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.